Welcome to Spotlight on Africa, with me, Daniel Finnan. This week, we'll be hearing from a man who wants to be Cameroon's next president. He's declared himself a candidate for the country's elections, which are likely to be held in October. Some have described him as the most credible possible successor to President Paul Biya. He previously served as the vice chair of international NGO Transparency International, and last year was elected chairman of the board of Ecobank in Cameroon. But these elections will take place against the backdrop of a crisis in the country's Anglophone regions. There's been continued attacks by separatist groups and a brutal backlash by security forces. We spoke to Akere Muna to find out why he thinks he's the man to replace President Biya and what he would do to solve the Anglophone crisis. Do you really think you've got any chance in beating President Paul Biya in the elections? I mean, we're talking about a guy who's been in power for 35 years.
Well, you're talking about President Paul Biya. I'm talking about the Cameroonians who really know the country's in danger of imploding. They know that their livelihood is in danger because the system doesn't work. They know that the infrastructure is at an ebb low. And they know that the justice system is not one that protects them. So I'm talking about the people. You can talk about Biya. I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about the Cameroonian people. And what I'm telling them is that, you know, we can fix this.
It also seems as if you're making the assumption that the elections will be free and fair.
No, well, listen, you know, I'm a lawyer by profession. I know what the laws are. I know that the way they're made, you know, to suit the incumbent. But that's a given. And to try and think you can change the laws between now and the elections, it's a distraction. But I think there is no fraudulent machine that can be above the will of the people. And I'm telling you, I've traveled up and down the country, and the will and the desire for change is very high. They can try to fraud all they want, but I don't think that that can be above the will of the people.
Why did you decide to go it alone in the formation of your own party?
Well, I didn't go it alone, and this gives me the opportunity to try to correct. I am non-partisan. I created a movement known as the Now Movement, which is not a political party, it's non-partisan. But there is a group of parties who created a platform for a new republic, and they are supporting me. So going a little, no, the platform for a new republic is a group of political parties, trade unions, and civil society associations, and certain political personalities who do support me. So I'm not going it alone, and I'm a declared candidate, true. And I think we are now trying to get people to register because, you know, the registered and non-voters in the last election in 2011 were more in number than those who voted for President Paul Biya. So you're trying to get Cameroonians, one, to register, two, to vote, and three, to control and make sure that their votes are counted. And when we get to that point, I'm sure when all the candidates are in, the members of the opposition will sit and have a talk. So we are now just making sure that, you know, Cameroonians are aware about the importance of this these elections.
Do you have the support of the Social Democratic Front, one of the country's main opposition parties?
Well, the Social Democratic Front has already elected its own flag bearer for the elections. I am representing a different group. But as I say, at this moment, we are now getting Cameroonians sensitized. I think coalitions and alliances are sometime down the road, and I think they will happen.
Who do you think you appeal to? Do you appeal to Francophones? Do you appeal to Anglophones? Because you yourself, you're from the Northwest region, but you founded your business in Yaoundé, and you've spent a lot of time in Yaoundé.
Right, 40 years of legal practice. Well, I'll tell you this. I think I appeal to Cameroonians because of my background. Many of them consider me a bridge. So I don't think that I'm really affected by this divide. There's some Anglophones who feel I'm too Francophone. And I'm not really bothered by that. I think that we have an Anglophone crisis in hand, and I am better placed to understand it because I know what's going on. I'm a victim of it. I've been a victim of it myself. I've written extensively about the mismanagement of the diversity of our country. And as it stands, you know, I think working with Francophones and working with the government and working internationally, I come away with experience in governance, which is really my anchor in my career, governance. I was vice chair of TI for 9 years. I worked with the African Peer Review Mechanism. I was president of the Economic and Social Council of the African Union, doing governance work with the African Development Bank. Cameroon has a huge governance problem, and this is exacerbating the other problem. I think I do know what our country needs, and it's a good dose of resetting the country and making sure that all identities are protected, and make sure that Cameroonians can actually live in a country that is working for them.
You mentioned briefly there the Anglophone crisis. Is it really actually a good idea trying to run an election while this crisis continues? Will it actually be possible to hold any kind of vote in the northwest and southwest regions?
Well, listen, I'm looking for a solution to a problem. And I'm saying the solution is the ballot, not the bullet. As easy as that. If anybody has a better solution, I'm ready to listen. We have a government that is closing its ears not to see and its eyes not to hear. They don't want to deal with any of this. So what do you want me to do? I'm saying the Francophones think it's time for a change. The Anglophones are suffering because things are not going better. The only way to move ahead is to galvanize and get it ready to vote and change the government. Changing the country doesn't help. It can't happen without bloodshed. So I'm saying, let's change the government. And this can be done. And that's my message to all the Cameroonian people. Let us make sure that we can see the back of this government and be able to rebuild a new republic, a country where every identity is protected. As easy as that. And will we be able to have elections? Of course, that's why I'm traveling, talking to Cameroonians in diaspora who have a very heavy influence on Cameroonians back home, and tell them to tell their brothers and sisters and all the Anglophones back home that it is important to vote. The government knows this and is trying to make sure that parts of the Anglophone regions will get so tense that they don't want to vote. And of course, such an imputation of part of the electorate would only be good for the government and not for any opposition candidate. So we can't fall into that trap. We know it's rough. We know it's difficult, but it's important to get out and vote. And that is the route towards the future.
Your father was Solomon Tandeng Muna, who was Prime Minister of West Cameroon. Now, not all Anglophones really agree with your father's contribution in terms of the unification of Cameroon. So, given that you're in some way trying to follow in your father's footsteps, do you think you're acceptable to Anglophones, given the divides, those divides that you mentioned in one of your other answers there, those divides within the Anglophone community?
I don't know if my father, who died in 2002, is running for any office. My name is Akire Muna. I have my own prerogatives on my I don't know who says that I'm following my father's footsteps. What I'm saying is simple. We're in a country where those who are the most disadvantaged are suffering, and I'm trying to work for Cameroonians, regardless of whether they're Anglophones or Francophones. It is true at this particular moment, the Anglophones are really carrying the heavier part of the burden. Their villages are being burnt, they're suffering, and I'm saying that this government now is not listening. Those who want to manage my father's existence, I'll let them to manage that. I have a simple mission affixed for myself, is to make sure that we can have a country which protects its own people. So, you know, I am 66 and people want to look at me through the prism of my father. Well, that's their problem to deal with. I don't know who their own fathers are, so I really can't start an argument about whose father did what.
Going back to the Anglophone situation in the country, how would you solve the issue? How would you solve the problem?
Well, it is easy. I think that in any union, the best protection you can have to parts of the union is the protection of the identity of every union. And, you know, I think that a federated form of a state is one of those guarantees you have. People tend to forget that when in 1972, President Ahijo opted out of a federal system to a unitary system, he said this: the federal system has permitted us to consolidate national unity. I pause. Therefore, the federal system permits the individual and identities to be protected and to feel part of the union. Now, what has happened is through erosion of what the cultures of the country, their macro cultures, Anglophone and Francophone, eroded, judicial system eroded, education system eroded, and the frustrations have increased. And everybody who wants this country to have a place in the future knows that every identity of the country has to be protected and respected. And only a federal system, as it stands, can guarantee that. And that's what we're fighting for. That's the first thing. The federal system that will protect the identity of different cultures, firstly. And secondly, make sure that the refugees can come back home, make sure all political prisoners are released, and make sure that we can start building a country for everybody.
You said union there several times. So do we presume that you don't agree with the separatists, those who've self-declared so-called Ambazonia?
disagreeing is it's a very loose term. The government has said Cameroon is one and indivisible, so they are putting nothing on the table. These Cameroonians who feel frustrated and feel that there's nothing on offer are now saying that they'll go to a different country. And I'm saying that you don't want to change the country, you want to change the government. And I'm saying that the system that will better protect the rights of all the minorities in that country is a federal system. It's not a question of agreeing or disagreeing with Ambazonians. It's a question of giving a prescription of what can fix the mess we're in.
Maybe we can be a bit more specific there. What would you put on the table?
A federal system. I just said that.
Thank you very much to Akiri Mona from the movement Platform for a New Republic.
Thank you very much.
For this week's Spotlight on Africa, I'm Daniel Finnan. Thanks for listening.